Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And it might surprise you, we're only going to study the first part of the verse, just the first sentence of the chapter. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And you might be thinking to yourself, what's so big about that? The word of Samuel came to all Israel. Is that truly enough for us to study an entire broadcast? The truth of the matter is, this little understated sentence in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, is one of the most profound statements ever made about a man. The Bible says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. What you and I have to understand is that this word is not just something Samuel made up to say. And it is not like the books that are being published by so many preachers today and the sermons that are being preached by so many preachers today. This word of Samuel is much more than a man's word. This is Samuel speaking the word of God to Israel. Do you remember how 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21 closed? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21 says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Next chapter, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Do you see what's happening? Samuel gets the Lord revealed to him by the word of the Lord, and then takes that revealed word of God, that reveal or revelation of the Lord, and tells Israel what God said. This is Samuel speaking the word of God to Israel. Much of what he said is written scripture today. Just think about that. I mean, when you go through here and you look at these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, all these guys, you know what? Many times they are speaking and then recording in writing what they've spoken. Like, for instance, in Micah, the word of the Lord that came to Micah the Morasthite. And then what does he do? Hear all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Do you see what's happening? What's happening is the Lord has given something to Samuel to give to Israel. And the truth is that you and I should be careful when we speak to others of things concerning the Lord, that our words are the words of God, and that they are true to the words of God and not just something we've made up that sounds good. And the Bible, particularly the New Testament, is filled with instruction. We won't have the time to cover it all today. But by the time we cover what we are going to cover, you're going to have enough information to understand, hopefully, the great opportunity, but yet the great responsibility laid upon me, laid upon every preacher, laid upon every person, teacher, Sunday school teacher, parent who is communicating the words of God to his children. You need to speak the word of the Lord. And then it will go out as far as God wants it to go out to those people to whom he wants you to speak it. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in the New Testament. Thinking about our text today, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Where's your word going? And when it does, what are you saying? What do people know about you from what you say? What do people know about the Lord from what you say? And how effective is what you say when you speak for the Lord? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If a man answers, he is to answer and speak as the oracles of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you see that? What's going on here? The Lord says, I want you to speak to other people on my behalf, and I want to be glorified when you do it, and the way to ensure that is to speak as the oracles of God. Well, you know what an oracle is. An oracle is an inspired, authoritative word. You've heard of the oracles of Delphi and other things like that. People would go and make inquiry, and then whatever they hear, then that's what they say comes from deity. Well, in this case, we know what deity said. Deity is God, and his words are recorded. Here they are in the Bible. You memorize these words, you read these words, you saturate your mind with these words, and somebody asks you, you may not be able to nail it down precisely, but you say, you know, the Bible says. And you can get them, I mean, really and truly, the more time you spend in it, the more you'll be able to do this. Get them to the place where the Bible can answer the question that they have. Somebody said, do you counsel? Yes, if I can give you an answer from the Word of God. But if not from the Word of God, there are people who can deal with the psychological problems that are trained to do that much better than I can. But if it's a question of what the Scripture says about the particular thing you want to know, we can get to the Scripture and we can get the answer. Speak as the oracles of God. You know what the trouble was in Isaiah's day? Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Israel needed some light from God, and Isaiah could give it to him. But notice what Isaiah said. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 28, I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Nobody knew what to say. And now here, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 to Isaiah chapter 48, as one preacher said, is God bragging on himself. And he said, I put them to the test. I asked them the question. And there wasn't a man, there wasn't a counselor, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Listen, if God were to ask you a question about things that you hold dear to your life today, could you answer him according to what he said in the Bible? I heard a preacher one time, and he was saying that the Bible speaks on every subject. And as an example, he said, give me five verses on things that are important to you. For instance, you like to exercise? Give me five verses on exercise. And you're thinking, I don't even know one. There are many. Give me five verses on money. Give me five verses on marriage. Give me five verses on raising children. Give me five verses on going to church. Give me five verses on witnessing. Give me five verses on giving. Give me five verses on witnessing and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And on he went down through the whole list. Give me five verses on science. You know, give me five verses on the universe. Now, when he did that, he said, you know something? If you ask me to tell me the same thing, I can give it to you, chapter and verse, and quote the thing for you. Now, was he boasting? To a degree. But mainly in such a way as to prick the conscience of those to whom he was preaching. If I can do this, you should be able to do this because the Bible has those answers. You understand? And the Lord said, this is a tragedy. I was just looking for a counselor, a man, anybody that could answer a word. Nobody could answer. Certainly, you have enough Bible in you to be able to give some answer to somebody that asks you of the hope that is within you, that you should be able in some way to answer as the oracles of God. If not, you need to get busy. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. You know how Jesus Christ knew what he knew? Oh, you say, well, he's God manifest in the flesh. In fact, he was God manifest in the flesh. But as a human being, he had limited himself in many capacities to that human nature that he had. And so there were lots of things that he had to learn. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4 tells us that he learned what he learned doctrinally at the feet of his father. Listen, the Lord God, Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And you say to yourself, well, how do you know that's the Lord Jesus? Look at the next one, the next verse, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's Jesus Christ, and he learned, the Lord opened his ear. Now, there's a radio broadcast, a call-in show where people ask questions from the Bible, and the guy's supposed to give you an answer from the Bible. And a lady called in one day, and she said, where in the Bible is the verse that talks about the Lord's cheeks being plucked of his hair? Well, they use a little computer with parallel translations, and they don't like the King James Bible. So they plugged in the things and couldn't find that. That embarrassed them. And they said, well, you know what? Hang on, we'll keep you connected, and we'll get that answer for you. They didn't know where the answer was. You know what the problem was? They couldn't answer as the oracles of God. And their computer failed them because they didn't have the words of God. They had the modern translations, and those translations had changed this verse, and they couldn't help that poor lady out. Listen, don't become so reliant upon these concordances and things. I realize they're helpful. I use them too. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, don't become so reliant upon that for everything you need to know in the Bible. It'll be at a loss to you when you have to recall something and there's no computer around and you've got somebody that wants to know an answer. Get to know, at least get to know the Lord Jesus Christ well enough. You know where to find that verse when somebody asks you. Particularly if you've got a national broadcast where people expect to get an answer from the Word of God when they call you. John chapter 7, verse 15, so Jesus learned because God Almighty opened his ear and he could say, honestly, when he was teaching and preaching here in the earth, he could say without reservation, my doctrine is not mine. John chapter 7, verse 15 and 16. John chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? Well, he never learned in their universities. He never learned in their colleges. He learned at a better place. He learned from God Almighty. How knoweth this man letters having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me. Do you know that Samuel could have said the same thing? The word of Samuel came to all Israel. You know why? Because he's preaching what God wanted him to preach. My doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me, Jesus said. Look how bold Jesus was in John chapter 8 when questioned about the things that he preached. John chapter 8, look at verse 26 and 27. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Do you understand? Jesus Christ was so careful with his preaching, he wasn't about to rely upon even his own ability as a man and God manifest in the flesh. He wasn't going to rely on his own ability in that capacity whatsoever. He would not speak things concerning the Lord until he knew what God Almighty wanted to say, and then what he said was what God wanted to say and nothing more. Listen, you say, how in the world could that happen? How could God do that? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Today we have the written revelation of God. You don't need anything else. You don't need any visions. These people that talk to you about, they got visions and they were praying and God said and all that. Listen, any of that stuff that is contrary at all to the Scripture, I'm going to tell you, is contrary to God. Even, I tell you what, he wouldn't put any stock in that whatsoever. Peter said, we heard God speaking to us on a mountain in Matthew chapter 17 at the Transfiguration, and he said, and I'll tell you what, the written Word of God is more sure word of prophecy than that. These people today talking about their visions, talking about God spoke to them in prayer and stuff and gave them these specific instructions to give to other people, that's hokey. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to communicate to others what God said. In Matthew chapter 10, the disciples were told by the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you're going to be brought before governors, in verse 18, and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. These disciples never preached to the Gentiles. Not really. This thing is foreshadowing what's going to happen in the tribulation. And you know that because verse 22 says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's a tribulation passage. And look what he says in verses 19 and 20. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to speak contrary to the words of God. Those guys, when they give that kind of an account in the tribulation before they get their heads cut off, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, are going to be able to stand up, and the Scripture is going to speak through them as they are led by the Spirit of God and give the answer that God wanted as a testimony against the Gentiles and the governors and the kings. See, then the normal reaction of a man in a situation like that would be to save his own neck, to change something up so that he could get out of captivity and get out of certain death. The Lord said, I don't want you doing that. My Spirit is going to tell you what to say, and I'll tell you where he's going to get it from. He's going to get it from the book. How do you know that? So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse 13, and you'll see how. Paul preached, and all this stuff you see written in here is Paul's. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, you know, that 1st, 2nd Corinthians, all that stuff. God gave all that to Paul. And when he's writing this stuff and he's speaking that stuff, I don't think he knew at the time, but he's speaking and writing Scripture. That's phenomenal. The word of Paul came to the whole world. You see how phenomenal that is? The first epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Thessalonians. This is just a man writing a church, a letter. But God's given him what to say. And now we've got it. And they've got this in Russia, and they've got this in France, and they've got this in Africa, and they got this in China, and they got it everywhere. They got the Word of God. So that's wild. You better believe it. The Word of Samuel came to all Israel, and it's back there, and the whole world has it now in the Bible. You say, what is that? That's due to the fact that they were preaching the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it, watch it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Listen to what he said. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which ye heard of us, Paul spoke it, but it was the Word of God, and they knew it wasn't the Word of men. They knew it was the Word of God. Paul said, listen, in my day, I'm talking for Paul, not my day as in the day I'm speaking to you, but in the day that Paul was writing, he said, there are a lot of guys corrupting the Word of God. We're talking 2,000 years ago nearly. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do you see the common thread here? This speaking as the oracles of God, this tongue of the learned of Jesus Christ, this doctrine of the Lord, this speaking what He had heard this word of God preached by Paul, this word of Samuel coming to all Israel. What this is this God using a man to take his words and speak to the audience. You know why preaching is no more effective than it is today? It's not the word of God, most of it. A lot of it, excuse me. You know why the books being published today are prolific and the men are making great money, but not much is happening in the way of changing lives? Man's word. Oh, it's temporary. You'll get a fad. You'll get a book like Prayer of Jabez, and everybody get all hot and bothered that now they finally have the miracle prayer, and they're going to finally get that thing they wanted, you know, in answer from God, and it flares up like a bottle rocket, pops just like every other new fad that comes to the market. The purpose-driven this and that and all that other kind of stuff, it all just lasts a little while until the guy that's written it makes plenty of money and then move on to the next deal. What's the problem? You don't need all that. You need the Word of God. You need a preacher who will preach it. You need a teacher who will teach it. You need to read it for yourself. You need to believe it for yourself. You need to eat it. You need to walk by it. You need to let it change your life. You say, well, how do you know? You know what? You talk about it being preached and how you talk about it being taught. How do I know? I've heard this asked before. How do I know when the man that's preaching or when the man is teaching is telling the truth? It's very simple. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts 20:27, Paul said to the elders of Ephesus, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What he says will line up with the whole book. Oh, you've got all kinds of guys coming up with all kinds of doctrine, but what they say doesn't line up with the whole book. They can make it line up with a verse or two or maybe three or five, but it won't line up with the whole Bible. And when it doesn't line up with the whole Bible, he's not telling you the truth. He's telling you what he wants you to know from the book that he's using. Listen, when he's not telling the truth, there are certain things right away that you're going to be able to tell. One, he's lying. Romans 3:2, let God be true, but every man a liar. What did I say, Romans 3:2? I think it's Romans 3:4, actually. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou, that thou mightest be justified by thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. If the guy's lying, you know he's lying. And it'll be because it didn't line up. Listen, you know he's lying when he starts using enticing words. In other words, it's his effective oration. It's the clever way that he puts the words together that suddenly, as one of my friends says, Twitter pates you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When they start dressing it up to make it more palatable, to entice you to follow them, you're dealing with somebody that's not dealing with the words of God. The words of God don't need to be dressed up. They don't need to be enticing. The devil's the one that does that. Romans chapter 16 will tell you very quickly the guy that's causing divisions and offenses is not the guy that's speaking straight on to you. He's speaking contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, for Romans 16, 17. And look at verse 18. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Do you see that? Enticing words, good words, fair speeches. The flattery. You don't know of anybody that preaches like that today. You can't think, no name comes to mind. Listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 12 tells you very simply, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. To preach this cross plainly, as Paul did, is an offense. Galatians 5:11 says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. That's when a man caves in and won't preach what the Bible says because it's costing him something. Listen, they'll tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. They're just like Old Testament prophets. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, you can tell the real ones from the fake ones because the real ones, they always speak highly of them. You go back here in the Bible in 1 Kings, and you look in chapter 22. There were 400 men that were prophets telling Ahab and Jehoshaphat that God said, go to Ramoth in Gilead and you will come back victorious. 1 Kings 22:6. Jehoshaphat knew right away that those guys weren't telling the truth and said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And Ahab said unto Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings 22:8, there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, I'll let not the king say so. And you know what Micaiah said? You go into that battle, you're going to die. Ahab went in that battle and he died. What was the problem? The sweet talkers, the good talkers, were lying. And the man telling the truth was so direct that the king didn't like him. But you know what? Jehoshaphat could tell right away that those 400 men were lying. You know what it was? It was basically one thing. It didn't line up with the Word of God. You say, how would I know today? Isaiah 8:20, last verse. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There was light in Samuel. There was light in Paul. There was light in Jesus Christ. And there'll be light in you when you speak as the oracles of God. You try to dress this thing up and make it more palatable, there won't be any light in you either. And don't do it that way. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.